Right now, ladies and gentlemen, it is time to bring in Dr. Judy Werpman, co-author of the Serotonin Power Diet, serotoninpowerdiet.com on the web, and also Simon Loses His Tummy. Ladies and gentlemen, here she is, Dr. Werpman. Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, and I hope I don't have to referee this discussion. But I do agree with you, Jill, that it is important not only to wash your vegetables, but to wash your hands.
Yeah.
So both absolutely count, especially before you start preparing the foods that you bring home from the supermarket and have touched the bags and everything else along the way.
And everyone who has touched them along the way. And I just there's basic stuff that... You know, you think, well, I can press a button and it appears in my house. It's like, yeah, well, wash it.
That's right. That's right. But, you know, at least your mood is good while you're doing it. And this is sort of a rather awkward way of saying that what I like to talk about is what happens when your mood might not be good and you're sort of annoyed and irritated at having to do this. And that's something that happens to many women before they reach menopause and if they're not pregnant. From the time they're perhaps middle-aged teens until they could be 50 or 51 years old, and that's this pesky change in mood and appetite and sleep and fatigue called PMS, or premenstrual syndrome. It's something that many women never experience, and they look at other women and say, what's wrong with you? But there are many, 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 many women who, if not every week, every month before they get their periods, go through even a half an afternoon or sometimes an entire week of really feeling that they're upside down or the world's upside down, that their perception of the world is totally skewed to what reality is because the world looks really depressed, they're anxious, they're irritable, they're angry, they're confused, they have trouble paying attention, remembering things, they get tired, they're either sleeping too much or they're sleeping too little, and they're eating too much, and they're eating too much of the wrong foods, and if they've been on a diet, it's those days that the diet doesn't work, and this thing just won't go away until it does, and then it goes away when the woman starts menstruating, but 3 weeks later, it can come right back again, and it's especially bad in the dark days of winter. It may be related to seasonal affective disorder. It's certainly related to inactive serotonin. And there doesn't seem to be, unless you have a really, really severe case in which you are totally incapacitated, as you would be with a clinical depression, and then you take antidepressants, there really doesn't seem to be any cogent or coherent way of dealing with this, other than getting pregnant.
Okay.
Which is, you can't do that all the time.
I want to ask you this about antidepressants, because I don't think that it gets enough recognition.
Right.
And let's talk a little bit about, do all of them cause weight gain?
No, but. What we did a study many, many years ago inviting people, women who had very well-defined PMS. They literally had it every month. Not women, all women do this, but we had followed them for several months before we do the test and before they did the study, and we found that every month for at least a week, they went through all of the typical symptoms of PMS that made them almost incapacitated to work, but they did manage to work. So if we had an inpatient study group, center at MIT at the time, and they were invited to come and stay for 3 days, sometime at the beginning of their menstrual cycle, and then when they were premenstrual, and it could be done in either order, didn't have to start at the beginning of the menstrual cycle. And they were allowed to do whatever they wanted, sort of like a relaxing 3 days for them, but the stipulation was that all their food had to be provided by the study, and the food was divided into high carbohydrate and high protein foods, but delivered in very small, you know, containers, and they had a snack that they could go to day and night whenever they wanted to. And those were measured, so we knew how much they were eating. Okay, so these normal weight women ate normal amounts of food when they were in the beginning of their menstrual cycle. They were eating, oh, let's just say 1,800 calories a day, 1,900 calories a day. They were active. And at the end of their menstrual, and they were eating the kinds of food that normal, healthy people eat, which was a variety of good, healthy foods. At the end of the menstrual cycle, when they were premenstrual, they increase their food intake per day by 1,100 calories. And they were eating not just, you know, the vegetables and the cottage cheese, but they were now eating almost exclusively carbohydrate foods. They weren't necessarily junk foods, but they were going for the potatoes and the macaroni and cheese and the pasta and breads and crackers. And if they did have access, and they did have access to cookies and candy, that's what they wanted to eat. They sort of ignored the fruits and the vegetables, and the chicken and the fish was eaten in very small quantities. And then as soon as they got their period, which is when PMS disappeared, this increased food intake also disappeared and went right back to normal again. And we did a study using a drug that was similar to one of the antidepressants that then went on the market. And we were absolutely shocked when we used this drug, which increased serotonin, the women went back to eating almost precisely to the calorie what they had been eating when they were not experiencing PMS at the beginning of the menstrual cycle. It was like these were women. They weren't machines, you know, that you put electricity or batteries in or something. But somehow this drug that increased serotonin totally took over their eating control mechanisms and then went right back to eating their normal amounts of food. And so based on that, we knew there was something about serotonin or its lack, because this drug did was increase its availability, that really was pushing for this excess food intake. And we did many, many studies after that showing that these women really did not have to dig out in order to feel better, but if they had small amounts of carbohydrate at 2 or 3 times a day, but I'm really talking small, I'm talking 120 calories each, maybe a couple of times a day of a plain starchy carbohydrate, they would be able to control their eating, and so they could really go back to how they were eating before they started their period, before they started, having PMS. The problem with all this, Jill, is that it has been absolutely turned upside down and muddled by people who put forth all sorts of theories about how PMS women should be handled and eating and their mood and what have you, and they're all based on nonsense that sort of could go back to, you know, the 5th century. They say, oh, we have diuretics. Why? Because there's water on the brain. Yeah, that was a theory that was promoted in the early part of the 20th century, but I still see diuretics being promulgated. Or they have inadequate amounts of this vitamin or that vitamin. There's nothing to do with it. They don't have enough magnesium. They shouldn't be eating chocolate, because you know why? When they eat chocolate,
they feel
they
better
have
because
PMS.
Of the calories. Right. This is just.
And and just and finally, the keto people, my bêtoir, the keto people are all saying, well, of course you have PMS. Look at all the carbohydrates you're eating. You know, if you just ate things like, you know, egg whites and strips of bacon, you wouldn't have PMS, because PMS is caused by inflammation, caused by carbohydrates. None of that is true at all, but it's really shocking how these scientific fiction theories come bubbling up, and they're given such prominence on the Internet, with people write with justification, and they know what they are talking about, even though they have absolutely no idea. And so they're telling women who are craving carbohydrates, because the carbohydrates actually make them feel better, don't you dare eat those, because you're going to feel worse. Well, the opposite is true. If they don't eat them, not only will they feel worse, but everybody who's around them is going to feel worse.
Too. Yeah, I know. This is asinine. Oh, well, it's always illuminating. Thank you very much, Dr. Judy Wertman, Food for Mood. Remember what I was saying about common sense at the beginning?
Yes, you know, listen to your body. If your body says, I want to eat a potato because I know it's going to help my PMS,
then eat the potato.
Don't say to that person, you know, don't eat that, but eat boiled peas instead.
Talk to you next week.
You know, women are supposed to take back their bodies. How about taking back your bodies and stop listening to all this nonsense?
It sounds good to me. Thank you very much. Dr. Judy Wertman, Food for Mood.
And you can hear Judy here on Thursday morning on Robin Hood Radio.